So, everyone, it's been a while. So, we're starting this new series called Soul Bites. And this series is going to be a bit different from our typical ones. As you all know, our usual episodes tend to take a lot of time because of the research that goes into it, the script writing, and the art that we create for each episode. So, that coupled with the busyness of our daily lives, and we're back in school as well for our master's. So we've just been thinking of starting a series like this where it wouldn't be as long or as researched, but hopefully a bit more personal and reflective and enjoyable, and maybe a break for you all as well from our denser episodes, inshallah. This series, the Soul Bites, will be structured a bit differently. And since we're experimenting with this, it might evolve. But in the meantime, think of it as a journal entry or a blog post. And this episode will have both Hala and I in it, but in future episodes, it might be just Hala or just me, Ella. And yeah, besides that, let us know what you think. And inshallah, it is something that can benefit us all.
Yep.
Hala, so what is our topic today?
It's been a while. I forgot what it felt like to be a podcast host. But we thought that it might be nice to reflect on Ramadan and what our experience of it was, because I feel like both of us went through a lot of changes this Ramadan, and yeah, I've been discussing this with a lot of people, and I think this Ramadan was just different for a lot of people. And yeah, so that's basically the theme of this episode. And we were thinking of titling it, like, Feeling the Ramad, where if you were up to date with our stories, you'd know that we posted a story about the etymology of Ramadan, what it actually means, where it comes from, and details about the real meaning of the root. Because the root just means to burn, but I actually, courtesy of Sarawati, but I actually wasn't aware of, you know, what does this burning look like? Because it can manifest differently depending on the process. And so we're just carrying that metaphor forward to this episode and, you know, exploring that and how we've changed throughout Ramadan. So, Ella, do you want to start us off?
Sure, I can start. We going into this trying to like centering our reflections around two main questions, which was how did we feel going into Ramadan and what were our general takeaways? And how I felt going into Ramadan, I actually felt really unprepared in comparison to other Ramadans. Like in previous Ramadans, I would have all my checklists sorted out, and I would have what I was going to do day to day at what time and stuff like that. But because of school and work and everything else, alhamdulillah, I was just so caught off guard when Ramadan started that on the first day of Ramadan, I was like, okay, these are the basic stuff that you need to do every day. And these to try to make the most out of Ramadan with your schedule, just do that. Like, figure out how you're going to work that into your schedule and go based off of that. And this Ramadan was also really different for me, as Hala was saying, was different for a lot of us, because this was the first Ramadan in a really long time where I didn't know what I was doing. Like, last Ramadan, I was back in UAE with my friends, and the previous ones, I was in Vancouver and had spent enough from... Yep, with Hala. Yeah. And our other friends in Isa from high school. And the Ramadans before that, I had gotten to the groove of it with my community in Canada. And while I had relationships here in the South, in America, it wasn't like an established community. Like, it wasn't similar to the one that I had in Vancouver or in UAE. So I remember the week before Ramadan, I was talking with one of my friends. I was like, what are we even doing? Like, how are we going to approach this? How are we spending our Ramadan? And I felt the entire, and I really wanted to have it all sorted out and all figured out before, but I think all of Ramadan I was trying to figure it out, and I think alhamdulillah I did towards the end. But community was really weighing on my mind initially because I really interlink community and worship, and I feel like I experienced one really good example of that during Ramadan, and another one that was an interesting one, like where I felt that I could have spent my time better. But I mean, that's how I felt going into Ramadan. How did you feel going into Ramadan?
I mean, I felt, okay, so I'm thankfully not in the U.S.
Right.
But yeah, as you were saying, for me, it came like just on a random day. Like, was it Friday or was it the weekend? Might have been Sunday. Before that, I usually don't have like rigid checklists for what I need to do, except like the non-negotiables, and then whatever extra I can do, it just feels like bonus to me. Like, for example, volunteering and all of that stuff. And actually, I was also thinking the exact same thing as you, because I was kind of dreading experiencing it here because I'm in a new city. And in my undergrad, I didn't really feel connected to my university during Ramadan. I don't know why. I wouldn't even go to a lot of the events, maybe just some iftars. But and then I experienced a really good Ramadan, alhamdulillah, in the UAE with, you know, all of us, and just doing tahajjud, like going to fajr. It was really safe. It was a really safe community, and like you could feel the whole vibe in the country. So it was so nice. So I was like, we won't be able to top that here. But then a lot of my friends, it's funny because I didn't really expect to be ingrained into the MSA or the Muslim community here as much as I was this semester. But like I consider like the community that they've created, even if you're not close to anyone, it just feels like a family, to be honest. And there's just a lot of cool people there, and they really did so much in Ramadan, like just trying to organize iftars every day, tarawih every day, qiyam on like the last half of Ramadan. So I was kind of hopeful that it might be different, just because before Ramadan, throughout the semester, they seemed like nice people. So yeah, I was just, you know, kind of dreading it, but waiting to see what will happen. And as you said, like figuring out what I wanted out of it, I just had some non-negotiables like Taraweeh and Quran, and then the rest would be like volunteering with iftars, Qiyam, all that stuff. And that would be depending on workload, which was it was yeah, just grad school is kind of different. So right. Yeah, honestly, it's funny because it came in probably the most busy month of the whole semester. So it was honestly a struggle. But I think I can elaborate on what I meant in the beginning by Ramad, because one thing that's helped me kind of stop dreading the beginning of it is just learning more about the function of it and why we're supposed to, like, what type of change we're supposed to undergo this month and how it's supposed to help you after. So it's sort of like a mini habit creation boot camp. And actually, me and Adat have been listening to so many, like, podcasts and talks this Ramadan. Well, we could probably talk about this in a bit. And you'll probably, if you've listened to those, you will probably hear the same, you know, rhetoric echoed here. But yeah, so what I usually thought, when I usually thought of Ramadan and like burning and like purification, I just thought of it as like, you know, it's something that like purifies you, like you're being purged of these things. But then I actually learned that Ramad is more of like a really, really slow burning, almost like you're sunbathing. And after a while, you start to feel the heat. And I think just knowing that in the beginning helped me a lot to conceptualize like what I'm actually doing and where it's going to lead me. Because it doesn't matter if I missed something today or I didn't do something to the best of my ability that day. It's just like trying to maximize how much you're going to be sunburnt basically by the end of it. So it's just like an accumulation rather than something that, you know, like a matchstick. It's just a spark that's either on or off. But yeah, what do you think, Ella?
So Helen and I had discussed this, like sort of our reflections beforehand. And I was thinking about your description. And that was just something I think about every Ramadan. And there was something that I kept repeating to myself this Ramadan that, so Ramadan is a big event and it should be treated as such. Like you should really try to immerse yourself in every kind of way, even if you've never done that previously. But I realized there's also an aspect of Ramadan that has been commercialized. Is that the word? Yeah, where there's a lot of influencers, and I know, and I think they mean good, like it's not like about intentions or anything, but sometimes I'll just compare myself to these certain posts that they make that are emotional in content, and I just compare as to how I'm feeling in that Ramadan, where I'm really like held down by, well, I would see it as me being held down by work and school and everything else that I'm doing. And I'm like, I can't do as much as they're doing, even though I really want to. And sometimes I'd feel really connected in Tarawih and could really have my mind come to a still. And then other days, it wouldn't be like that at all. And then you feel kind of a bit like a failure. Like, oh my God, there's only 30 days. And I messed up one or two days in terms of thinking I could have done more. And that's basically all of Ramadan. Like, I'm finished. Like, but that's just, it's just something that I had to repeat to myself throughout. And I feel like every Ramadan, I always have to remind myself that education and the work that I do, it's not that it's useless or anything. Like, you always have to renavigate your intentions, because it, like, pursuing education is worship in itself, depending on your intentions. And every Ramadan is just a reminder for that, of why I'm even doing this degree in the first place, and why I do what I do.
What types of posts, by the way?
Yeah.
Like, what would the posts, like?
They'd be like Islamic content posts. So, for example, if it's, they'll just take a video, like a reel of the moon, and it'll be like, I don't know, like, I'm feeling XYZ this Ramadan. And
this
and
is your sign.
Like,
this is your sign to wake up 2 hours, like, before Fajr every single day and do Qiyam the whole night.
Yeah. And I just feel like you should, like, definitely, this is what you should force yourself to do if you can. But a lot of the nights I couldn't, just because I was sleeping late trying to do work, and then there was prayers would end late, yeah, and everything was just ending late, and I was just like, oh, I can't, and I feel bad. But it's not productive to feel bad.
Okay, capitalism. Okay.
No, not like that. Like, no, not like that. Like, what am I supposed, if I feel bad, like, how is that going to help with my worship? Like, it's better for me to just, like, take that feeling and realize that I'm doing what I can. But me just, like, lingering in it isn't going to.
Yeah, like, stopping.
Girl, that's not capitalism.
Stopping what you're doing isn't beneficial. I was going to say that I also relate to just the feeling of wanting to do more and not being able to. And not even like comparing myself to other people, but comparing myself to other Ramadans, even though so last Ramadan, if I think both of us were out, we were not in university. So you're just,
we were just like working part-time.
So it wasn't even that intensive. And obviously, you know, family support, just community, it was very enjoyable. But here, when you have to pick up your own slack and actually force yourself to do things and organize your own time, it's just, it was kind of insane, honestly.
No, literally. Like, I have to cook, clean, come back, do work. Oh, okay. I mean, alhamdulillah
for the ability to do that. Like,
yeah, but yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah,
it's difficult to do it Ramadan alone.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, one problem, not problem, but one thing that I didn't expect to have an issue with is just wanting to bask in the Ramadan vibes and having to consciously stop myself. Like, for example, a lot of my friends who are part of the MSA would go an hour earlier than iftar and like prepare food, like, you know, ration the food for the people who are coming to collect food, and then they'd go set up for tarawih. And I'd want to be a part of all of that, but I'd literally have to leave them for an hour, do some studying for an hour before tarawih, and then tarawih ends at 11, and then coming back home and then working until, I don't know, it's just, it was probably, like, feeling-wise, or maybe, not spiritual-wise, but feeling-wise, it was probably the hardest Ramadan I've ever experienced. Even with what you were saying about, like, quote-unquote feeling it, I've also experienced that, and I've seen, but I've listened to a lot of, like, talks, and even seen, like, posts on TikTok, where it was more like, maybe not feeling it is the test, and like testing your resilience. Are you worshiping the feeling or are you worshiping God? And it's just like, it's such a struggle trying to keep your intentions pure and then doing all of this, like doing all of these spiritual like activities, like prayer, Quran, whatever, and then at the end, feeling like you're doing it half-heartedly, and then having to cut it short to go home and study. So it just feels like you're constantly like trying to run and catch up to other people, but you're not getting there. So it was like a constant, you know, battle as well.
Yeah, I think about that part about maybe not feeling it is the test. I don't know about that, but this Ramadan, I think just because of how busy I was with everything, and I don't know, maybe this is my main takeaway as experiencing Ramadan as a 25-year-old.
Oh, you're so
but
old.
I just can't. You're so mean, bro. You're so mean. The thing that just, like, the phrase that kept replaying in my brain throughout that Ramadan was, even if I'm not feeling this and feeling it all the time, just don't let me be somebody who forgets God even for a second. Even if I'm not doing something that is explicitly related to worship, just don't let me be one of those people. And I don't know if that relates to what you were saying about maybe not feeling it is the test, but because I wasn't feeling it, it made me think that. Yeah.
I mean, I think that is exactly what like those posts were referring to, is that the goal for this month is to center God and center worship. And you having that line of thought is doing exactly that. And I was just like, one thing that was very like salient to me this Ramadan is how much it comes in to break the flow of like ordinary life just to make these things stand out to you, especially because, you know, capitalism, constantly living in the grind, forgetting about like having a lot of responsibilities and then forgetting about why it is that you're actually here. It just came in to break all of that. And actually, like being in a state of fasting, a lot of people say this, but being in a state of fasting makes you so humbled as a person. Like, it humbles your soul because you're starving it of, you know, its basic necessities. And I think one of the podcasts we were listening to, probably Abdurrahman Murphy, I'm not sure, but it was saying that the best types of diets is the one where you are begging and you feel like a beggar. And then they were saying that you can't do that, or you can't like enter that state of mind when you have a full belly and you're like overstuffed and, you know, you're not, I don't want to say happy, but just like fulfilled in other like areas. But when it's all just stripped away, it actually makes you realize what is important to you and what, well, it made me realize what I actually wanted to happen, or what I wanted to get out of life, at least, and how I was going to ask God for that. You know, other than also working for your afterlife and stuff, which is very important. It's not just an afterthought, but yeah, it just like reframed the constant nagging of those feelings of like, I'm so tired, I can't like maximize my time to do work, it's just too hard. And then it kind of clicked that that was kind of the point. And so I shut my mouth a little bit and tried to endure it. But yeah, like, and then at the end, it just feels like habit because you've actually done it for that long, which is actually like, yeah, a lot of the talks that we've been listening to have all been breaking down the structure of Ramadan as like a habit creation camp sort of thing, where it's like motivation is high the first 10 days. You know, you're all like very excited to get into this new routine, and you know, everyone's hosting those really good iftars in the beginning, and then the middle is sort of like you see less attendance at the masjid, and people are like, you know, going through a little bit of a dip, and then last 10 days, you know, everything is maximized, so it comes back again, and just like made me realize, like, it made me think of just spirituality in general and how it like ebbs and flows, and it's just not something that's all going up the whole entire month of Ramadan, but it's something that maybe every single day it goes up and down, but you still keep going. And I think that's pretty much the point. But yeah, it's just something that was interesting to me.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the capitalism piece that you mentioned. Ramadan definitely forces you to think about how your time is being allocated, especially when you feel that the time that you have for things that are explicitly worship related is so limited, because there are so many things that are vying for our attention, and our attention is definitely like a form of currency to these applications, like TikTok and Instagram and whatever and whatever else. Like, honestly, it's not just social media. Like, you can waste time on your laptop too. Don't get it twisted. But
speaking from experience. Okay. No one's holding a gun to your head.
Okay. So because my time, I really felt I was being split into 2,500 different directions. If I was just like mindlessly doing something, it would be at the back of my head to do something else, like snap out of it. And that's when that's why I really got into podcasts this Ramadan and just listening to whatever that was possible, during my commute, while I'm doing whatever. Because it felt like a way that I could still be connected and be doing, and be learning things that are explicitly related to our deen. It's not as like a substitute for prayer or anything like that. It was just something that another thing that I could do in times when I couldn't do anything else. And it really did help with my khushu'a during prayer, alhamdulillah, and help with my intentionality while fasting too. I'm sure a lot of you probably listen to Imam Omar Suleiman's series on the Barzakh. That was I really like that one. That one was really good. Especially in like centering and focusing on the afterlife and just making you really conscious about it.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated. And there was something else that you had said about, yes, when you're talking about the ebb and flow during Ramadan. I think for me, usually I go into Ramadan trying to at least have one or two habits built consistently that I can keep going throughout the year. I know people have different approaches to Ramadan. Like, some people go really, really full force because to maximize it. But I'm just trying to keep something going and keep it going for as long as possible. And I just had to be realistic. I was consuming so much content. Everyone was giving me different advice. And I just had to be realistic with what my life looks like right now, with work and school. So I just really had to take that advice and put it into perspective with the intention of just focusing on, okay, what do I want my relationship with God to look like now during Ramadan, but also afterwards? And what can I do? Even if I can't do the most, what are like one or two steps that I can take to get to that relationship with God that I would like? And that helped me not feel guilty all the time. And you know, oh, sorry, this is another thing that I wanted to say, that it was really interesting. I was saying to one of my friends, and she was saying that this Ramadan, she had probably done the least amount of, I don't want to say the word rituals, because it feels
like it's practice. Something.
Yeah, it feels like it's something that you're doing without intentionality, but there is like, but we do have rituals in Islam, but just
like spiritual practices.
Yeah, spiritual practices. Yeah. This was the Ramadan where she had done the least amount of spiritual practices, but she had felt the most connected to God, actually, and had her high, her tawakkul was the strongest it had been. And I just thought that was a really interesting takeaway, because it was just while she couldn't do a lot, it was still a period of reflection for her. And I don't know, I thought that was an interesting perspective.
I really like that point you made about like how the content you consume helped keep your intentions in check. And actually, I experienced this a lot. Like, I didn't listen to the Barzakh one that much, but I listened to, like, pretty religiously, I listened to Quran 30 for 30 every single day, especially because it matches like the usual khatma that people do, which is like one juz a day. And even like listening to Quran and Taraweeh, it just, like, this Ramadan, it made me reflect a lot more on the Quran. I just realized, like, I mean, obviously, I don't know if this is a good word to say, but I just realized how poetic it is. Not just, like, listening passively, but even during Taraweeh, I'd be, like, following along and listening to Quran 30 for 30 the day after. So it's just, I don't know, made me appreciate it a whole lot more, especially because each juz. So, I mean, Umar Sulaiman mentions this every year, but, like, subhanAllah, every time you read the Quran, you get something different out of it. And that's why they keep doing the 30 for 30 series every single year. And somehow, every single year, it's always different, which I found to be really interesting, actually. But yeah, it's just something that I came out of it with. And it also, mm-hmm. like, one thing that's also helped, that Ramadan has helped with, is just proving to you that you can actually stick with things if you want to. Like, for example, not listening to music that much, or reading Quran consistently. If you can do it in Ramadan and you've done it for 30 days, what's stopping you from doing it the rest of the year? Or is it only because the reward is maximized and then you take a break for 11 months, you know? So I just had those thoughts, and that there's no reason for me, if I was in my busiest semester ever and the busiest month of the busiest semester, and still being able to keep up with these things and having it as a non-negotiable, then I will surely be able to keep it up in other times of the year. I just didn't want to, basically, which isn't good, but, you know, at least not didn't want to, but, like, didn't have the will to actually be consistent with it and see, like, and see the reason to, like, okay, yeah, it's something I should be doing, but, you know, I will get to it. But it actually made, like, lessen the barrier for certain practices that I would usually find really daunting to even start. So I really appreciated that from Mr. Ramadan, you know.
Definitely.
Like, I don't know, experiencing the last 10 days made me also realize that, like, intentions really count with certain things. And, like, sometimes when you try to do everything, your body will break down and you won't be able to do anything at all. So I feel like trying to do the most with, like, trying to do 100% in every single aspect with, like, spirituality, school, and also just self-upkeep and self-care, trying to do, like, 300% was kind of not the point. But that's, I don't know why I thought that that was how it worked, when, you know, it should be a more about, like, it should all add up to 100%. But just realizing that overdoing it as well is not the point. Even, like, you can test your limits and do more than you did, or the most that you can do, but not to the point where it's at a detriment to yourself, because that would also not make it. That's also low-key haram. Like, for example, a sick person who was told by the doctor not to fast, and then they still fast, and then they faint. Obviously, that's not the point. And also, whatever they were experiencing is from God. Like, there's an excuse for a reason. Like, God just wouldn't put some random rules in the Quran just, you know, as a suggestion. It should be something that is abided by. And so just taking that into account and having the general intention to always be doing better, or, like, trying to check yourself that whatever you're doing, even if it seems to other people like it's not that much. That's why I think, like, I've stopped, like, past Ramadans, sometimes, like, for example, when you were mentioning, like, those posts about, like, feeling it and, like, doing tahajjud all night and, like, all of that stuff, I've just, like, completely stopped doing that. Even, not even just related to Ramadan, like, just habit setting in general. Like, not everyone is dealt with, you know, the same set of cards, and they could just not be, like, oh, okay, they felt, like, an emotional connection, whatever, but they could just not be showing, you know, the flip side of, I don't know, a really busy day, like, as a stay-at-home mom, or, I don't know, having to go to the ER early because they're a doctor, etc., and then still having to fast through all of that. I don't know, just, it just also highlighted the importance of balance, even when you're trying to do better. And I think that was a big takeaway as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on that last note that you were saying about those posts or whatever, but also this is a source of income for some people. Like, this is their job, like, to generate these kinds of posts and stuff like that. So it's like a completely, we're not on the same playing field. But when you had mentioned, like, trying to not overdo it, I do agree, but I think it's because we always, I mean, I think it's a good feel, like, a good thought to have, is that we always want to be doing the most that we can for during Ramadan, but for God, that we don't know necessarily when we're overdoing it, because we'll, like, downplay our current efforts because we're aware that there is so much more that we could be doing. So I think for me personally, it's hard to tell when I'm overdoing it unless, like, something happens. Like, something happens where I can't move or I can't do whatever. And even then, sometimes you think, okay, but I still could be doing
faking it.
You start gaslighting yourself. You're like, no, that's not serious. Like, you're exaggerating the pain. Like, and I think also there is something unique to this about being women as well, because we often do, like, gaslight ourselves. I don't even know what the word is. Like, where we
just
try
downplay.
To, we don't. Yeah. Which is not even our fault. It's society. It's the system. But we're like, no one really takes what we're saying serious.
Bars.
Or no one's, our pain or anything. So I feel that also translates into our worship as well, where we're just thinking, like, oh no, this is not serious. I could be doing more because of whatever. And also with, like, for example, with mothers, people that talk about work and stuff like that, but, like, stay-at-home moms are doing so much and so much mental labor that it's like, I don't even know, like, during Ramadan, I don't even know, like, what a hard job, like, genuinely what a hard job.
Yeah. I've seen this reel by Mustafa Husni that was just highlighting this exact point, that all of, like, you doing the boring stuff, you doing your responsibilities, the invisible things that no one really thinks of, is actually, like, ibadah in Ramadan. Because without you, the whole structure of the family will fall apart. Like, waking up early to, you know, do all of these preparations for iftar, and then making sure your kids are, like, still going to school, and then also studying with them while also fasting, and then balancing, like, 500 things. The boring, invisible stuff, you're getting, like, twice the reward for it. And I think there was this, I forgot the exact context, but it was a hadith about a war. I wish I could remember the context, but it was basically, like, someone was going to war to, you know, spread the message of Islam. And then he told one of his closest friends that wanted to go with him, like, really wanted to go. He said, you stay here and hold down the village. Make sure to protect everyone and, you know, keep them safe while we're gone. And obviously that person who stayed back isn't going to get any of the glory for doing that, you know, doing the boring stuff, which is keeping down the fort. But it's as important, if not double the importance of those who went and, you know, did, like, were martyred and did the jihad and etc. So it's just really something interesting to think about. All these little tips felt like, you know, little gold specks I was collecting throughout Ramadan just randomly. And I think I might just, like, I was never a podcast person, even though we're running a podcast. I was never one that, like, really listened to podcasts, but I think I might have to get into it. You guys were onto something. The listeners of this show were onto something.
Hey, listen, I've always been a podcast person.
Okay. Well, that's why this exists.
Yeah. But back to the point about invisible labor, maybe it exists and I just haven't really sought it out that much, but I really wish there was a more open discussion about, we talk about not feeling like, oh, how do we still feel connected in Ramadan when we're on our periods? But I feel like the period part isn't just like the only aspect that's impacting us during Ramadan, because you have the week or even 2 weeks leading up to it where you're drained and exhaustion, and that's another aspect of like your own like body health, and where you can't really confirm it with like anyone else about how tired you're feeling or anything like that. And at that point you're still fasting as well, but your energy is like, it's low even when you're not fasting. It's even lower when you're fasting. Yeah. And it's hard not to also feel bad during those moments. I actually don't feel bad when I'm on my period, because I think, oh, like, I know this is a rahmah from God, and alhamdulillah, it's because alhamdulillah my parents raised me like that, because I know for a lot of women they don't perceive it that way.
Yeah, it's shameful.
It actually makes me want to cry, like, when I hear other women talk about their bodies like that,
like pretending to pray.
Yeah, pretending to pray,
like that's so depressing.
It is,
and pretending to fast,
where they see it's almost like they see it as a punishment from God, when it's like, you're like, God gave this to you, this is mercy from God. There are ways for you to still feel connected to God even when you're not praying. There's so many other aspects of worship that we're still allowed to do and encouraged to do. We shouldn't be perceiving it like this is
it's low-key haram.
Why, like, yeah, this is like one of the aspects about why I still that about why I love Islam, because like, no matter our state, we can still come to God. We're never like impure to speak, like not speak, but you know what I mean, like to like build our relationship with God. So this like aspect of purity or like feeling impure, like to guilty about like having your period or the shame or whatever, this is not like, this has like no basis in Islam. So, but yeah, so for me, where I still struggle the most during Ramadan is that like week leading up to my period, because I just don't have the energy and I feel bad because there's no one to prove it to. I can't even prove it to myself. Like,
yeah,
if I'm really like, feeling it,
is it me or my hormones?
Exactly. No, literally.
And like, you're also like, you also can't not fast.
Yeah.
Even when you're like bombarded with all of these ailments.
Yeah, it really does. Like, it really is.
So, you can't take painkillers either, which you usually do, which we usually really need. But, like, you know, that's also part of the reward. So,
exactly.
Bonus, yay.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is a bonus points. but,
okay.
Yeah.
I think we can wrap it up.
That's all I've got. That's all I've got.
What do you want to improve on or take away from this Ramadan to implement throughout the year or to next Ramadan?
I think what really, again, tawakkul is also something that ebbs and flows, but I really feel like this Ramadan, I was reflecting through, like, this past year, as in past academic year and stuff like that, where I really do feel like I've... Does embrace tawakkul make sense? That I've...
Yeah,
that I've really embraced
tawakkul. Like, embodied it.
Embodied it, alhamdulillah. Like, even before leading up to Ramadan, but I was really recognizing that I did do that this Ramadan, because my life is just... Alhamdulillah, like, I'm in... Me even doing... I think, like, the biggest reminder for this is the program that I'm doing, a bioethics program. I didn't even know something like this even existed, and this was something that I could do, and the fact that I even be living in the U.S. again, there's just so many things. Anyway, just so many things have happened to me, alhamdulillah, that I could have never even imagined, but I just really gave up. I think I just gave up, and I was like, you know what, I know I can't control anything, but just make this easy on me and just put me wherever, like, wherever that aligns with this goal, just do, like, just let that happen.
Just let it play.
Yeah, just let it play. But, like, I just can't think anymore. Like, I don't know how to plan for XYZ, so just let it happen. And alhamdulillah, it just has turned out that way. But yeah, tawakkul and istighfar, I think, is really, like, two things. I don't know how to say that. It sounds funny, like, two things I've been big on. But two things I've been big on, like, I think... For me, istighfar is also just another reminder of how easy it is for us to access God. Just me, like, saying astaghfirullah how many times a day, just as I'm walking around my house, like, really asking God for forgiveness. I don't need to go anywhere special. I don't need to go to the mosque. I can do it wherever I'm at, which is really the beauty of Islam, one of the beautiful parts of Islam. So that's just been, those are two things that I was thinking about before Ramadan, during Ramadan, and I want to continue after. Now, pass it on to you.
Thank you. I really actually like that point that you made about the having constant access to God, because just, like, I don't want to compare religions, but, like, you know, having an intermediary, like, confessing to, for example, a pastor or something, and, you know, telling your sins directly to them, and then having them go tell it to God. It feels kind of like, I don't know, like, so many obstacles when throughout the whole month, I was literally just, the whole day, I was like, not even like through istighfar, I was literally communicating with God through my brain, just like, you see this right now, right? Like, you see what I'm doing, like, you know, like, you can feel, not you can feel, but, like, you can see what I'm feeling.
And, like, you understand better than I do. Yeah.
Like, I can't even say it, but, like, you can see that this is happening, and I'm trying, like, I promise. And actually, one thing, it's funny that you were talking about tawakkul, because I was really thinking of that point throughout this semester, and how much we can't control. Like, it, I mean, this is kind of a tangent, but... you know, obviously being in a new environment and being surrounded by people who are really smart, it's natural for some people to get imposter syndrome. And actually what fixed, like, it got really, really bad this semester. But what actually fixed it was, like, being in Ramadan and, like, realizing that even, like, all of the du'as that people make about, being increased in knowledge, or even, like, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, like, even just, like, being good at public speaking, or having access, understanding a concept that is being taught to you, like, accessing that knowledge, you won't be able to do any of that if God doesn't give you permission to do it. You can try really, really, really hard. And it's not a reflection. Like, it just made me feel at peace, actually, that, like, I'm trying so hard. Why am I still not getting certain things? But then I realized it's actually not because I'm like dumb or whatever, but it's just that I don't have the necessary prerequisites to access it right now, and God is withholding it from me, maybe for some time, maybe indefinitely, for some reason. Maybe I'm not prepared, maybe it won't benefit me in the way that I think it will benefit me. So even just realizing that directly related to the work that you're outputting, which is usually a reflection of who you are as a person, you know, under capitalism, which is just your capital is your work, your effort, your product. Even realizing that that is risk is something that felt very freeing. And I think that was one of my biggest takeaways from Ramadan. And I want to carry that throughout the whole year, and just being cognizant that every single interaction, every single thing, every single breath, like having the sun out, just everything is just being compelled by God. Like, it's all an intentional thing. It's not just coincidental. It's not just the way things are. It's all been written, and it's going to unfold in the way that it's exactly supposed to unfold. And that feels, it just feels like I'm playing out a script now, and I'm trying to guess. And like, something that I would constantly think about is, wait, so now that I've experienced this, how does this actually play into, you know, the script that's written for me? Like, what does God actually want of me in this instance? It's just, it actually makes life also more enjoyable, like worth living. Because now you're like, we always do video game references, always. But now it's like, this whole thing is written out, and you're just in this RPG game, and you're like seeing, oh, okay, so these are the decisions, and they're a limited set of decisions. I take one. Now, what is this going to lead me to? And there's a predefined end to the story, and it's going to play out in that exact same way. So, yeah, a bit of a tangent, but I think that was really important to learn.
No, I don't think that's a tangent, because sometimes you'll be like, you'll do your istighfar and you'll make your dua, and you'll wonder why God isn't answering it still. And I think we spoke about this on the episode with Sara Wagdi, but sometimes you feel
free will
in Thai. I don't know. I probably was free will.
Guys, it was free will part one. One of us at least knows our stuff.
Okay. Sorry, I don't have our catalog memorized of our big catalog of 10 episodes. Wait, how many episodes do we have? Like 14? 10?
Hello, it's barely 10. I think it's 11.
Okay, so it's still 10. But anyway, so I lost my train of thought. I think we spoke about this in the Sara Wagdi episode, where sometimes we feel like we've done all the right stuff. We think we have with istighfar, and then we make our dua, and it's still not being answered. And then we start blaming ourselves, maybe. But I think really, like, as you were saying, like, really submerging yourself into tawakkul is also realizing that they're, like, really just accepting that there are things that I'll never know the answer to, and things that will never be answered. But that's because I trust God, and I know that it's not, that it wasn't meant for me, and it wasn't going to be good for me. Uh-huh. But anyway, on that note, do you have anything else to say?
No. Thank you me for neither. Listening. And I think I was just going to say, like, I hope this isn't our, you know, usual annual post, and maybe you'll see more episodes this semester, I'm cooked, bro. This year, hopefully.
I'm cooked, no, literally. No, yeah, inshallah.
There will be more. We're both working, yes.
We're working on something. Like those people were saying, I'm working on something. Something. Each of us are working on our own.
So double productivity.
Inshallah. Inshallah. But yeah, inshallah, maybe in the summer, but no promises. No promises.
As usual.
But maybe we'll try the soul bite kind of stuff more often. But yeah, let us know what you think about the format, because our first time trying this. Let us know what you thought about the episode. Let us know your own reflections, actually. I think it's always important to have an open dialogue about this, because sometimes it feels like we're the only people to ever experience something ever. Yeah. But there's unity in a community. Hey, whoa. That's a bar. Okay, wait, write that down. Write that one down. That one was a good one.
I'm sure that wasn't original.
Yeah, definitely no. Anyway, okay. Okay, salam, guys. Bye.
Bye.